work on this. We know, we've talked about it, you know, you've done all the writing, we're good on that. She goes, but Al-Anon isn't about a problem, Al-Anon is about a solution. And we have to work on a solution for you. And so she said, I'm going to give you an assignment and you're not going to like it. And she always prefaced it with, and you're not going to like it. Because I have never liked one little weenie freaking thing they've ever told me to do in Al-Anon. Because it always seems like such a stupid little answer for the big, big giant problems that I have going on here. You know, easy does it, let go and let God. Let go and let God what? You know, there's got to be more to that than that. But, you know, of course, I don't know any of that. And so she gave me this assignment, and the assignment was that I was to go home and I was to think about a good thing my dad had done for me. And my initial reaction is that there's no such thing. And again, this is what I know about the family disease of alcoholism too, because it wants you to live in fear and hopelessness. It never wants you to see the good that's going on anywhere, anytime. It's meant to keep you in darkness. It's meant to keep you alone. It's an isolation. It's meant to keep you that way. And, you know, so I wouldn't recognize anything good if it was standing right in front of my face. And I didn't think there was any such thing. But one thing I have always been willing, and I believe this is personally God's grace for me, that I've accepted that grace from God, is that when I started coming to meetings, I heard from the very, very beginning about willingness. You know, if you're not willing to do anything different, how can you possibly expect anything to change? So I've always been willing. This much, but that's all you need in these rooms. I'm here to tell you, because this program is so powerful, you know, that this much willingness will take you a long way, but you need at least this much willingness. So I was this much willing. And I don't know how long it took me, 2 or 3 weeks, and I remembered that my dad taught me how to drive, and if you're going to live in Southern California and marry an alcoholic of your own, it's just a skill you got to have if you're going to track that sucker down. And I am talking about tracking alcoholics down in the day. No GPS, no cell phones, none of that good helpy stuff. You just had to get in there and go do it on your own. And you know, when they don't want to be found, they can be difficult. But he taught me how to drive, and I didn't think my sponsor would be happy with that answer, but that was really all that I had. And my first sponsor, Jeannie, she was a tiny little Dutch woman. She had a thick Dutch accent. She was just like maybe 5 feet tall, really, really skinny. Older than my mother, had never lived with sobriety, you know, didn't have any kids. We had nothing in common. But, you know, I picked her to be my sponsor for all those reasons, because I didn't want anybody that could think like I could think, because that's not going to help me. I want somebody I can get passed on, somebody I can fool, somebody, again, all the tricks, all the things that we learn, you know, that we think are going to make it easier for us. I have no idea. But my first sponsor, Jeannie, like I say, little Dutch lady, and she was a clapper, which irritated the crap out of me. Because she's like, every time you did anything good, ooh. If you shared and she approved, ooh, you know, which is like, couldn't, you know, but that was her. And I went up to her at the meeting, and I said, I thought up a good thing my dad had done, and ooh, she was so happy. And then I told her, and I don't know, she's not going to like the answer. She's going to think it's pretty chicken. And so anyway, but it was really all that I had. And I said, you know, my dad taught me how to drive. My God, you think I'd come up with the cure for cancer. The woman was ecstatic. Not only was she clapping, she's jumping up and down. We're just all over the place here, you know. Because what I didn't know is that it was my first year in Al-Anon. It was my rookie year, so I didn't know that when your sponsor gives you an assignment, you will get part two. I didn't know part two. I only knew part one. And now part two of my assignment was, whenever I thought about the things my dad had done to me, said to me, the beatings, the verbal crap, that I was just to replace that negative thought with this positive one. And then she went on to tell me, she said, you know, your father died with all of his children hating him, being glad he was dead. You're a parent. You have children. Is that what you want to have happen to you? That's how you're, you know, this is how your family is affected by the disease of alcoholism. You know, your dad died with all of his children hating him and being glad he was dead. Do you really need to punish somebody more than that? Well, apparently I do, you know, because I just won't let it go, you know, because it's, you know, and I don't mean to tell you that I grew up in this hellacious home with this hellacious man, you know, who made me feel bad about being a girl, who made me feel bad about even walking the face of the planet, who made our whole family shake in fear every single solitary day. And then I came to Al-Anon, and my sponsor gave me this freaking weenie assignment, and now it's all butterflies and rainbows up the gazoo, you know, and everything's just honky-dory. What my sponsor gave me that day was, she gave me the most precious gift I think I've ever gotten in Al-Anon, and that's the gift of forgiveness. And it says in our Al-Anon literature that forgiveness is no favor. We do it for nobody but ourselves. And see, I thought if I was forgiving my dad, I was letting him off the hook. And I wasn't going to let him off the hook, because it wasn't right. I was a little kid. He was my dad.